So, like, what's the deal with the Trinity? The question came somewhat unexpectedly as I sipped a cup of tea across from an 11-year-old parishioner whom I had the pleasure of meeting with a few weeks ago to talk about faith and religion, just as I've met with many of you sitting here today. I love these meetings, but I especially love this one because anyone who has spent any time talking to kids about God knows they ask the best questions. And this young man had clearly done his homework. What's the deal with the Trinity has been a question within Christianity and from outside it for thousands of years. And so, in my response to him, I did my best to distill the many arguments and disagreements over what the Trinity is into some digestible terms. I pulled out my favorite metaphors to try to help explain the divine dance that is the three individual persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all separate expressions of the same single God. My young friend seemed satisfied enough, at least as satisfied as one could be when grappling with an eternal mystery. But after our conversation, I kept thinking about our discussion. And I realized that in my haste to answer the question, what's the deal with the Trinity, I only really explained what it is, and failed to answer the even more important question of why it matters. Because we can run around in circles all day long, seeking out metaphors to help make the doctrine more understandable, but at the end of the day, we have to be able to answer, so what? Why does this confounding theological formulation matter? But luckily, this being Trinity Sunday, the only principal feast in the church year devoted to a doctrine and not to a person or an event, I get a second chance to try and answer that question, a question that really goes beyond why just the Trinity matters, to why does theology matter at all? And if we're going to understand why theology matters, we need to be clear first about what theology is and where theology comes from. Theology is the words we use to make sense of God. And it is only ever done in response to something God has already done. Be wary of theological pronouncements which seek to tell you about what God will do or how God will act, that purport to know more than we can know for sure, because that is beyond our sight. We can speculate, we can make informed guesses, but that's all those are. What is not beyond us is to try to make sense of things that have happened and are happening within the context of belief in some higher power. Theology is making connections between our sacred story of faith and our lived experience, and any theological insights are always downstream from something God has already done. So, theology is our attempt to make sense of God's activity. It is faith seeking understanding, as St. Anselm famously put it. And we do believe that God has expressed himself in some discernible ways. Having been given bodies and minds to move through this world, we notice things and find ourselves with questions. Questions like, how it all began, what's it all for? And as we started to wrestle with these questions, we developed a belief that one of the ways in which God has expressed himself is in the very existence of existence. That the very creation of the universe, the bringing of something out of nothing, is the work of a prime mover, a creator. And that creator has generated existence with what appears to be a loving intention, a delight, and a desire to have something outside of God's self to interact with and rejoice in. And the word people settled on to try to encapsulate that ultimate power and that generative capability and that loving intention is Father. Problematic? Yes. Anthropomorphized? Yes. Gendered? Yes. And thus limiting? Yes. But it allowed people to try to name and understand those aspects of God. And importantly, to be able to interact with him at the level of a beloved parent. And then Jesus happened. And we needed to make sense of that. Here was a person who taught us even more about what it meant to call God Father, who was so intimately united with him that not only did he do amazing things, but he also revealed much about God's true nature, affirming that the expression of love and the promotion of life in all its fullness and forms was central to the force which animated all things. And then Pentecost happened. And all of a sudden, people are doing things and saying things that seem amazing and living lives that feel new and different and powerful. And people had to make sense of that. And so we named this third expression of God, one which was not the same as the distant creator or the son who came and walked this earth for but a moment in time, but an expression of God moving in and around and through us, guiding our hearts, opening our minds, strengthening our hands with an undeniable but indefinable presence. A presence Jesus told us we could call the Holy Spirit. So all these things happened. And in response to them, we, the church, got together and decided that all these expressions of God were equal and worthy and worked together, and so we should name them as such, and so we did. And we got our one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. That was our attempt to make sense of what God had done. This was far from the only bit of theology we did, but this one mattered a great deal. Why? It mattered because we believe that each of those expressions revealed to us something real and true about God. And that meant it shaped our understanding about what is good and right in the ultimate sense. What was the best and rightest way to be in this world? For if what we said about God we believe to be true, then that should ground how we live and move. And if we want to be swept up in the divine life of the Trinity, as we are invited to be, if we want to more fully participate in the ecstatic, that is the overflowing impulse of existence, then it matters how we think we are supposed to do that. God's activity is meant to inspire and inform our activity. And theology is the thing which links those two things. The translation from experience into understanding and understanding into action. And so, what it means to have a Trinitarian faith is not just that we know the words to the Nicene Creed, but that we understand that to call God Father means we seek a life that cherishes the created order as much as he does. To call God Son means we model our life on a man who expressed love for people of all walks of life, who brought healing in body and soul, and who exhibited his power only ever to lift people up to a better and fuller life. And to call God Holy Spirit means that we, little old you and me, have more power in ourselves than we could ever imagine. And that God's presence is with us, empowering, equipping, and emboldening us to go and risk ourselves for goodness sake. This is what theology gives us. an understanding of how God is, so we can try to be that way too. Because what we believe shapes how we behave. Or at least it should. Unfortunately, theology is susceptible to the same sins human beings inflict on anything else. Too often, we have treated theology as a formula one must assent to in order to be in. We've used it as a test, not of someone's understanding, but of their allegiance. And instead of a revelation into the nature of God, theology became a gate through which one had to pass in order to belong. And it is at that point that theology becomes a form of control, or a tool for dividing people into heretics and true believers. And it can be weaponized by those whose theological convictions have lost all awareness of the irony that the substance of what they are professing does not endorse the way in which they are professing it. All of which are our problems, not God's. But if we are ever going to combat those misuses and abuses of theology, we need as much understanding as our theology can give us. Even if one of those understandings is that God is always more than even our most fundamental beliefs tell us. We need to be clear about the theory so that we can be clear about our practice. We need something to anchor our understanding on so we have something to anchor our lives on. And the Trinity is a good place to start. In fact, it's a deep, foundational place to start. For the Trinity is the theological understanding that God is dynamic and expressive and expansive. And we know this because of God's movements in the world. Movements we recognize in the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Movements we seek to align our lives with and embody in all that we do. For what we believe in our theology should show forth in our lives. That is why it matters. And that is what's the deal with the Trinity. Amen.